excuse me. I'm like, yeah, Orland Derbyshire. All right, this is the Embracing Differently Abled Children and Their Families by Ms. Jenny Pendolph, our presenter, and she will be speaking for about 30 minutes.
Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome.
Just so you know, all of the room hosts happen to be staff that work with me in children's ministries here at the Mission Church, so I'm so proud of them. They're doing such a good job. So thanks for coming. This is a topic that's become my heart and a big part of my life. My background is nursing. I'm an RN who stays at home with her children, but my last child is a special needs child, and I'll tell you more about that later. So as I just thought about the topic and everything, this idea of church culture came up, and I have found several definitions for you here. Just as you start to think about this community, the special needs community, CDF Capital says church culture is basically the personality of a church. It's a picture of the atmosphere and environment that's made up of elements like the mission, the values, behaviors, goals, and ethics. A man named Sam Chand, who wrote a book called Cracking Your Church's Culture, says that it's the atmosphere in which the church functions. It's the prevalent attitude. It's the collage of spoken and unspoken messages. And Carrie Newhoff says that you should think of church culture this way. It's the mission. Mission is what you do. Vision is what you see. But church culture is how your church feels. It's the unspoken rules, the vibe, and the climate of your church that's experienced by members, staff, and visitors. I think this is an excellent passage to get insight on how us as believers can contribute to a godly church culture. Romans 12 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to each one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed each of you." And I think this is so crucial when we're thinking about people who are differently abled. Because if you don't struggle with a disability, and I acknowledge many disabilities are hidden, and we all have stuff that we're struggling with, but if you don't maybe struggle with more something that's more obvious, sometimes you might think you got it all together, or you don't have issues, that we just kind of put ourselves higher than people who are differently abled. God forgive us when we do that. But it continues to say, go on, it says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." And I think that's so beautiful to think about when we're thinking about people who have special needs. And this chapter, this whole section of the Word of God is such a beautiful picture of the diversity in the body of Christ. And I assume that because you're in this room, so you know someone, at least one person, who has a disability in your life. And I also know that for myself, when I'm passing a stranger who has disability, I often see their weakness. But when it's somebody who I know and have relationship with and I've grown in this, I see their strengths and I see their giftings. And I think as a body of Christ, we want to see how God has gifted everyone around us, and especially those who are differently abled. And it should be our goal as the church to make spaces for all of these people. We want them to experience salvation, we want them to be discipled, and we want them to come to the point to actually make disciples. So as I think of this whole topic of disabilities and special needs, it feels a little bit overwhelming when we think about how can we actually develop a church culture that embraces these people. If you start to look on Google, there are a ton of resources. Believe me, I've been doing this for the last couple weeks just preparing for today, and there's so many resources out there. I actually read an article about a church in Colorado Springs called Access Church, And they are purely for people with special needs, or children, especially families with children with special needs. And many reports that you read tell us that the disabled community, they include some of the most unreached people in the world. So how can we change this? Where do we start? I think one of the best places to start is Genesis. Genesis 1:26 says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, the wild animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground." There's a term that a group that I'm going to show you a video from called Johnny and Friends uses, and they say, we need to look at all people through the lens of Genesis 1:26. So no matter who you're looking at, no matter what their condition, no matter what they've gone through, they are still made in the image of God.
Amen.
Oh, sorry, it's still there. And Jesus affirms this in Luke 14, when he told his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed." He's basically telling us, go out, look for them, and bring them in. Although they can't repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Pretty sure most of you in this room could quote this verse, Matthew 28:19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." Obviously, I think you'd all agree that the differently abled are included in all nations, and they're loved by God. So how do we reach them? I want to show you a video. And as I said before, this video is put out by Johnny and Friends. Have any of you guys heard of Johnny and Friends?
Yes.
If those of you have not, Johnny was paralyzed, injured, had a spinal cord injury at the age of 17 through a dive accident. And out of that experience, she has developed this whole amazing ministry that reaches people with different abilities. So let's see if this is going to work.
Here at Johnny and Friends, we believe that Christ is the only hope for the world, and that the church, as a body of Christ, has been given a common mission to go and make disciples of all nations.
Throughout his ministry, Jesus made it clear that this included sinners and tax collectors, Roman centurions and Jewish Pharisees, people with disease, and people with disabilities.
Early missionaries like Paul carried the gospel far and wide across the Roman Empire, and no barrier, not even the threat of persecution or martyrdom, could stand in the way of the gospel's advance.
But in our churches today, we have, without even realizing it, created barriers that keep people with disabilities from the gospel.
How do we ensure that we're ready to welcome anyone into our communities? The child with autism, the woman with intellectual disabilities, the man who's lost the use of his arms and legs? Or how do you encourage the expectant mother who's learning she's carrying a child with a life-altering genetic defect?
Cliche answers and platitudes won't do. Our churches must reflect in word and action the reality that everyone is created in the image of God, that Christ died once for all, and that each of us has value to contribute in the body of Christ.
Being an accessible church means far more than making buildings accessible. As Sam Alberry puts it, people don't enter a church, the church enters a building.
When we include people with disabilities in our communities, we are reflecting something that is already a reality. Christ died for everyone. Everyone who knows Jesus needs to find their place in the body of Christ. Without them, the church is incomplete.
We're not going above and beyond the call of the Great Commission. We're fulfilling it more completely. When we make room in our churches for those on the outskirts of society, we are filling God's house.
You're not alone on this journey, and it's our prayer that Johnny and Friends church training resources will encourage and equip you for every good work that God has planned for you.
I'm not a representative for Johnny and Friends or anything, but this ministry is amazing. They have amazing resources. So if you have any thing that you're looking for to work with people who have different abilities, check their website out. One thing that I want to start taking is they have something called Irresistible Church Training Series for Special Needs Ministries. And there's 12 different, basically classes in this series, and it's all free. There's a book that's included, supplemental resources, and training tools, and it's just completely free. I read a blog that they had recently, and they highlighted it here in this video, but it said, perhaps one of the things that people with disabilities have in common is encountering barriers everywhere they go. And I can attest to this, and sometimes those barriers are so little and annoying, like when I'm taking my daughter to the bathroom and somebody who's fully body-abled is using the handicapped toilet, like they're just little things, but they compound, and it just becomes overwhelming. So to be a church that effectively ministers to people with disabilities, we want to help remove those barriers. And rather than thinking of a disability ministry as an additional ministry of the church, we want to think of it as a methodology. Effective disability ministry is not a thing we do, but a way of doing things. So I want to ask you to think about, how does your church do things? Do you know your church's mission statement? Here at the Mission Church, our vision is to proclaim Christ, to train disciples, and to raise leaders. So when we're proclaiming Christ, you know, we're saying that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and we want to bring people to salvation. We want them to demonstrate repentance, and we want them to be water baptized and fellowship in our local body. So how do we do that with people who are differently abled? I mean, I think we're doing well with making families and children feeling welcomed. I joked earlier that we actually don't have a ramp to go up to the baptismal, so I'm hoping, like, when my daughter wants to be baptized, it's going to be tricky, you know? So there are things that we still need to work on, but we want to just keep taking steps towards that. Our second point, when we want to train disciples, some things that we do to make accommodations, we do girls' ministries, a discipleship program for girls, and we have some girls who need the curriculum altered for them so they can keep achieving their badges. Or we have a connect group for special needs moms. And so we're training them, we're making disciples out of them, we're coming alongside them. And raising leaders, we want to allow people with special needs to be active, to serve. There's a young man here today, I don't know if you noticed him, he's walking around with a cane. He's got some disabilities, but he's actually been a keynote speaker at one of our youth groups, and Ryan has a lot to offer. So we want to raise leaders as well. I have this quote here. This has become a really key idea to me. This is stated by Ryan Falk, who's from Johnny and Friends. He says, as leaders and as a church family, we do not need to be experts on disability, but we need to be experts on individuals. I'm definitely not an expert, but about 9 years ago, my family became a special needs family when we adopted our almost 9-year-old daughter. And Grace has many issues. I'm slightly embarrassed to say my husband and I went into the fostering to adopt idea. My husband's a PA, I'm a nurse, and we said, we want to take care of a healthy child, please. And they don't really exist, you know, not that they don't exist, but the need was for this little girl who was born addicted to heroin and methadone, and born premature, and we don't know what's going to happen, kind of thing. So Gracie came to us at about 2 months old, and our church embraced her. There's some people in this room, you know, that embraced my daughter. And to the point that teenagers in this church learned how to love on a little girl who had many special needs, and they are her, she walks into this building and they just go, they beeline to her, and she loves them so much. About 4 years ago, she had a major surgery, and we spent 6 weeks down in Manhattan. We were at Rusk Rehab in Lower Manhattan, and God showed me a picture of what he's deposited into my daughter. Things that I could never develop in my own. We were on this unit with all kids of different ethnicities, different religions, like literally every religion was represented there. And Grace would say, Mom, I want to make a parade. Let's go on a parade. So we go door to door asking each child if they wanted to come on this parade with us. And she's in an adaptive bike because she can't walk. And she just had the surgery, and there's kids in wheelchairs. Nobody's walking. Like, they're all there, whatever their different needs are. And we're going around this nurse's station all through. And she's at the beginning. She's leading this crew. And God just showed me I have deposited things in her that I am going to use, right? But if you look at her weaknesses and not at her strengths, you might just feel pity for her, feel sad. But that's not what we want to do as a church. To this day, the Mission Church is one of my daughter's favorite places to be. How do we make our churches be the favorite place for kids and families with disabilities to come? Here at the Mission Church, we have a ways to go. We don't have a specific special needs program. We don't have a sensory room. But what we do have is people who love children and who are trying to be experts on the individual. One new thing that we're trying to do, I gave you a copy of it, it's this information form for children with special needs. So we're trying to talk to parents, see what they need, ask them, what do you need from us? And then trying to be consistent with our staff so they're aware of the conditions that the kids have. I adapted this from Johnny and Friends. We don't want to make assumptions, we want to be willing to listen. Another thing that we're doing is we have a sensory box. We have a little boy who has autism who just really would never sit down during kids' church. He just would never sit down. And we're just trying, we talk to the mom, what do you think would work? You know, so we made up this little box, and he also brings a little bag, and he kind of sits to the side, right, David? Like, in his little chair. But since we made that shift to allowing him to have his own little spot in the room, he sits, he listens, and if you ask this boy about the lesson afterwards, he knows exactly what has been going on, right? He's so smart, and he knows. We have another boy who doesn't want to sit apart, though he needs to, but he wants to be right in the middle of everything, and he's had some major behavioral anger outbursts, not really here, sometimes here, not as much here, but at school, he got kicked out of his school. He was not being he wasn't in any program for a while, and finally his mom said something to me, and I was able to actually, I'm gonna pick on Pastor Kathy here a little bit. I said, Pastor Kathy, what do we do? How do we help? And so she reached out to the mom. She was able to be a parent advocate at this child's IEP meeting. And since then, this little boy, it took like still over 6 months, or 6 weeks, right? It took a while, but now he's in a new placement and he's enjoying it a lot. And all we did, we just kind of came alongside this family through God, kind of, he directed our steps and helped us to help this family. And there's another new little girl who just started like a few months ago in our preschool class, and she's totally nonverbal. So that was a new one to me. I was like, God, what are we gonna do with her? And every time the parents would drop her off, she would cry and cry and cry. So we were like, initially the parents stayed, but then we saw this family needs a break. They need to be in the service. So my leaders were like, Jenny, we're gonna handle it. We're gonna hold this one. And they did. And so for several weeks, they just have to have a one-to-one with her sometimes, and they just hold her. But her family came to what we have, a welcome party, we call it, for new visitors, and she started yelling out in the middle of this welcome party a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Linda looked at the family and said, you are welcome here. You do not have to worry about that. We will talk. Everybody can hear me. I'm loud enough, she said, right? And so we just embraced her. Last week she was dedicated in our child dedication, and I'm just so thankful. I feel like it's like a victory to see this little nonverbal girl be able to succeed in our preschool class. I have another girl who has a genetic disorder, and her parents were told to abort, just abort. It's just gonna be too much, you're not gonna be able to handle it. Thank God they didn't. She is this precious little peanut. She will always be short because of this disorder, but she comes up to me regularly, almost every week, and says, Miss Jenny, when I grow up, I want to be a children's teacher, a Christian teacher. That's what she says, a Christian teacher just like you. So God has gifted all of us, right? And has so much to offer through these young people. We have children with Down syndrome that have actually aged out of our kids' ministries now. He's in our youth group. There's behavioral disorders, anxiety, and there's even social barriers that are harder to see, but God help us. Years ago, one of our very first special needs ministries here in the church was run by Pastor Kathy, who's sitting here in the front. We had a girl who was level 3, maybe autism, very severe. She couldn't really sit in the classroom, and Pastor Kathy saw the need and said to the parents, I gotta help you. What can we do? And so kind of made a little like one-on-one class for her. The heart that Pastor Kathy had to do that comes mostly from her history as a mom of a special needs son who has since gone to be with the Lord. Could you share a little bit about Joey with us?
Sure. Sure I can. He was born with special needs. And I had an opportunity to preach with Johnny and friends actually in Cuba, because I was there for a retreat for parents with children with special needs. And the whole idea of the retreat was they would do one-on-one with the special needs and the other children, the siblings and the family, and then there would be workshops for the parents, and it gave them a respite. It was for a whole week. And the title of my talk was A Reluctant Chosen Vessel, because for the most part, we don't choose to have a child with a disability. This happens. There's no training for it. There's none of that. So just because of the walk that I have been involved in special needs. And the young girl that you talked about a couple of years back with the autism, I saw her parents in the church, and they had just started coming. There was another child as well. And I could see the stress on the parents' faces. They're trying to come to church on Sunday, and the little girl just couldn't tolerate to be in the sanctuary. And she didn't fit in because she was big, and ability-wise, she was like a three-year-old, but she didn't belong in with the three-year-olds. And we know you get a whole collage of different needs and abilities and so on. So you want the children to be able to be successful at church. And you want the parents to have an opportunity to have that respite for maybe about an hour a week. That's all it is. Yeah. So I talked to the mother, and she just broke out in tears, because I said to her, I really want to help you. We've got to figure out something. And she says, you're an answer to my prayer. And it wasn't just me. And we had Samantha in this very classroom
right now
where we're sitting on a Sunday. So we had volunteers, and we had Shadow with her. And sometimes she'd be in with the typical kids. But then when her BA became untenable, we walked out. We might to walk around the building. But the thing is, you need the volunteers that are willing to do that. And it's not easy. And it's hard to keep that commitment. So my passion in all these years has been to help the parents. Because if the parents are good, the kids can be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So thank you for what you do and your interest in this. Because not everybody is interested in you might be a reluctant child, but you're chosen.
Amen.
And thank you for that.
So she didn't really share much about her story, but it's
this
book. So I encourage you, we have these books at the Welcome Center. They're brand new, hot off the press. I just got mine today. I can't wait to read it. But it's not easy to being a special needs mom. And Pastor Kathy said to me the other day, it doesn't really get easier as they get older. And that is, you know, kind of true to my world right now, but God gives us the grace.
So
we need
grace.
Right?
Yes.
The special grace. We have these at the Welcome Center.
Okay.
Right when you came and where you registered.
I think it gives you an insight into what the parents have gone through already.
Yeah.
And how God, in His grace, He reveals His grace to us when you become born again. So you read the book. It's an easy read. It's a quick read. And I just want to share that. You'll encounter parents, and you could be a grandparents of a special needs child, and you just get an insight into God's grace to get you through, because He can do it, and He will.
Yeah, so really my goal for our ministry here, and just encourage you guys again to just make that cult, your church culture, be one that differently abled children are embraced, and their families are embraced, and I think The whole point is relationships, right? And just focusing on each individual person. And keeping in mind that participation, like access, like our church is accessible because, you know, we only on one level, like we have, you know, accessible bathrooms, all that kind of stuff. It's not quite the same as inclusion or belonging. Mm-hmm. We want everyone to be included and belonged. And this quote also comes from Johnny and Friends. They have so many good ones. Guests can be served, but only family offers to do the dishes. So the goal is that everyone that becomes part of the family will also be serving, right? Because they have something to serve. They have something to offer. My daughter has a lot to offer, though it might be hard sometimes to get her to offer it, but she has a lot to offer. Ryan, who's here I mean, the love that exudes, is that the right word, from that young man, he is so much. And we want to be a place, we want our church to be a place, we want your church to be a place, the body of Christ to be a place that everyone can serve and not just be served. So I also gave you these resources here. So the first one is a Beyond Suffering Bible. It's gonna be the next Bible that I buy, I think, is by Johnny and Friends, and it looks really great. And each one of these websites has like tons and tons and tons of ideas, especially Johnny and Friends. So I think we just have like 2 minutes left, Marty, three?
You actually have four.
But I'm just gonna pray. I wanna pray for all of you and just pray that God will keep showing us. Like, I feel like the one great thing that all of you guys are here today, we all have stuff to learn. No matter how long we've been following Christ, no matter what, right? But we just have so many things to learn, so God help us. God, thank you so much for this group of people who are just here saying we want to learn, we want to grow, and especially as we've thought about kids and adults and families that are dealing with special needs, different abilities, God, I pray that you would equip us, God, to be experts on the individual, to see what the needs are in our congregations, and to be equipped to meet them, God, to give us, Lord, you've done it in my life. I've seen how you've just divinely ordained situations that I would have the answer to meet the needs of these families, God. And I pray that for each one in this room, and help us not hesitate. Help us not be afraid. Help us take that step out and just say hello and get to know people who maybe look different than us, have different abilities, and God, help us. We pray for these families, God. We pray that they would get the support and the rest, but also salvation, Lord. We don't want them to be the unreached here in our communities. We want to see these families come to know you, Jesus. So just have your way. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. This book, too, is another book. It's not available here, but it's a book that Pastor Kathy has done with our special needs group for moms. And it's really great. I'm actually reading it right now.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So did you name Grace, God's Grace?
So, interestingly enough, her birth mom, we met her birth mom a couple times, and she asked us to name her Gracelyn. Name is Gracelyn. And, we have three boys, and if we ever had a girl, we were always going to name her Grace. Look at that.
There
so,
go.
Yeah,
God gave
it's His Grace. Right? And I say that all the time. Right? It's God's Grace. This one, The Spiritual Art of Raising Children with Disabilities.
I use that one as a Bible study for moms with children with special needs. We do it once a year. I'm probably going to use something different next time. But it really talks about soul care for the parents of a child with special needs, whether it's a medical thing or, you know, intellectual, whatever it is. We all need that soul care. And teachers, we do too.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you all for being here. God bless. Enjoy. You're going to lunch now.
Yes, lunch is right. You go straight outside to the sanctuary.
Thank you, Jess. Yes, please. Would you definitely
give I'm looking for so that's why I asked.
Yeah,
I think that I have a stronger mom.
What question?
We have our own preschool too, actually, and we have like a lot of little ones that, you know, might be on the spectrum a little bit, and maybe like the parents don't like